Welcome to another message on the parables of the Bible, all the parables of the Bible. We're up to Matthew, the 7th chapter, and we started out all the way back from the beginning of the Bible with all the parables. We're studying at this time from Matthew, the 21st chapter, or Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse number 21. But before we go there, I want to go to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew 16 and verse 18, because this is the same subject. 16 and verse 18. He starts all the way back up into verse number 13. Now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he kept on asking his disciples, saying, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" Then Simon Peter jumps up. Cephas. Simon Peter. Cephas means little stone. Or a small pebble. Petros means a small pebble. And Simon means one who hears. And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Then he turns around and he's looking at his church. And he said, "I also say unto you that you are Petros, a little stone. But," now that's not "and" there. Here we have a strong adversative conjunction, page 208 in the Analytical Greek Lexicon by Zondervan. "But upon this rock I shall be building my church, my ecclesia, my once called out." And it already was called out. He'd already, this church is here. It's got a treasure. It's got apostles and all in it. "And the gates of Hades cannot overpower or wrestle her down." And then he says unto the church, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you shall have bound on earth having been bound already in heaven. And whatever you shall loose upon the earth shall having been loosed in the heaven." Then he warned his disciples that should tell no one that he was the Christ. Now let's go back in the earlier part of the book. Jesus is the foundation. Peter, in his writings, says that Jesus is the rock. He is the foundation. Of course, Jesus is Jehovah the rock of the Old Testament. Now let's go back in verse number 21. Now, I actually included this in the last verse in our last message on the parables. But let's go on here because it's still part of the Lord's saying, part of his explanation. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord.'" You know what he just said, Marilyn? "Not everybody that says to me, 'Lord, Lord.'" Uh-huh. Now, who does Jesus say he is? Who is he saying he is? He says, "I am Jehovah." No one addressing me in the eternity future, at the judgment seat of Christ, no one says to me, "Lord, Lord." I am deity is what he's saying here. I am God. "Will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name?'" And remember, we talked about the devil's missionaries. Mm-hmm. People that don't know Christ, people that are peddling religion. "Didn't we prophesy in your name, Muhammad? All the popes heretofore? Charles Taze Russell? Joseph Smith, Did we not prophesy your name, in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? I never knew you, he will say. And then I will declare, this is the God of the judgment. Then I will declare, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice outlawry, lawlessness. Jesus Christ built his church upon one foundation, and that's him. Many people have come along since Christ and started many, many churches. Many churches. Many isms. Many cults. And these are not the right foundation. Jesus is the foundation. And verse number 24, and therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man, a wise builder, a wise builder. Now, when a person is going to build a house, especially in the Middle East had many, many floods and many flash floods. And even here in Fish Lake Valley, Maryland, when I had them build this cabin here, and I worked with them to build this cabin, I didn't build it down by the creek, did I?
No, you don't build a house in a wash.
You don't build a house in a wash. You don't build a house in a floodplain. As you go down the valley here, there are housing developments in floodplains. If you go to Bakersfield, there are many housing developments in floodplains. Mm-hmm. And then they want insurance, and then if they get flooded, then they want somebody to pay up. When they were not a wise builder at all. Not a wise builder at all. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise master builder who built his house upon a rock foundation. I wanted to come up here in this piece of land up in the high ground. Mm-hmm. Now it's decomposed granite, and there's many rocks here. You go down just a few feet and it's solid rocks, granite, heavy rock. I wasn't afraid of this place washing away here, where it is. They built houses along this creek here, and many of them were flooded this spring because they built the house on a bad foundation. And the rain descended. Now, these people that are listening to Jesus are very aware of the flash floods in the areas that Jesus is talking about. They're very knowledgeable of these flash floods. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew it, and it burst against the house, and yet did not fall, and for it had been founded upon the rock. The rock. Jesus is using a parable here for an illustration to found about true religion and true faith, that it is built upon Jesus. For in grace you're having been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Then Jesus continues to talk here. These are eternal words of God right here. These are God's words. Jesus has told us up there, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, He's saying that I am deity, I am the Jehovah of the Old Testament. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish builder who built his house upon sand. Talking about false religion. Building upon some man instead of God. I've always told people that don't trust me, trust the Word of God. Trust the Word of God. The Word of God is foundational. It is God's Word. It is the foundation of all things, a foundation. Some people use the Bible to make their sermons. Some people use the Bible to bring about a topical message that they want to bring out. And they use the Bible many times out of context. Here, in this area right now, It said, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, as great was its fall. The result was that when Jesus had finished these words, the multitude were amazed at his teaching. Amazed at his teaching. For he's teaching them as having authority and not as the scribes. Now let's go on page 157. In all the parables of the Bible by Herbert Lockyer. I'm going to read sections of this to you that comments on these words. And many of these words will repeat what I have said. But bear with me. The Lord testifies to his own deity when it says, Lord, Lord, Matthew 7:21, and John 13:13. And as such, demands are implicit obedience. Jesus' words are God's words. Profession without possession will bar the professors from Christ's recognition both now and at his coming. And he had many of them here, didn't he? Of this we are certain, that he does know his own, in 2 Timothy 2:19. Then bringing his discourse to a close, Jesus said, therefore whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man. He then goes on to describe what the obedient, shrewd, and prudent man does. He builds his house, his whole life, his whole reputation, his whole ministry, his whole essence of being on the rocks of true discipleship. Our genuine subjection to Christ, though disobedient, build differently. The disobedient build differently. Many people found their religions on a god of their devising. Muhammad, Allah, the moon god, Allah, as we have it in the Quran, the Sunnahs on the Hadith and Hadith, is a God that is a figment of Muhammad's imagination. That is not the God of the Bible. We're not trying to study and worship the same God. The rock foundation is not the rock on which we build. Christ himself upon a rock, that is upon his deity, to which Peter confessed, I will build my church. In Psalm 46 and verse 1 and 2, the psalm has been called the song of the house of the rock, which had no fear when the storms came. By the parable before us, Christ teaches the importance of doing as well as hearing. Doing as well as hearing. In his description of the two builders, he made it clear that they were to be judged. Not by the care which they took in building their houses, but by the foundation on which they stood. In a striking fashion, he illustrated the importance of founding a building life, of the foundation in building life. If we desire to build more saintly mansions for the soul, the foundation must be carefully selected. If we desire to build more stately mansions for the soul, the foundation must be carefully selected. The interpretation of this parable, doubtless suggested by surrounding architecture, is related to the general fabric of an outwardly religious life, a life resting on and rooted in all that the Lord is in himself. It is only in the personal union with Christ, the rock of Israel, Jehovah, the rock of our salvation, that we can find the stability of wall without which even our finest purposes are as shifting sand. We are eternally secure if built upon the foundation of Jesus, which God hath laid in Zion, Isaiah 28:16. Luke describes the wise builder as digging deep and laying the foundation on a rock, Luke 6:48. The soul of a believer digs deep into the nature of God to find out what righteousness will comfort and suit with the righteousness of the infinite holiness of God. Many people try to found their own righteousness. They are good people. Many good people are going to hell because their lives and their religion is built upon the wrong foundation. Peter is not the rock. I want you to understand that right now. Peter said he wasn't the rock. Peter didn't have the keys of the kingdom. The church had the keys of the kingdom and has that until this day still. And we're not talking about the Catholic Church either. We're talking about true New Testament churches throughout the world. The sand foundation, Christ had knowledge of the fact that strangers coming to Galilee to build would be attracted to a readily prepared level surface of sand rather than upon a hard and rugged rock nearby that may be not contoured. I can tell you one thing, Moriah, the hill Moriah up there where the mosque is, was all rock that had been leveled off. Takes a lot of work to do that. If you go down the road through canyons and things and you see where they have drilled and blasted and leveled areas off, it's work. Much work. But when the seasonal floods came, he was left with nothing but a heap of ruins. What does a sandy foundation represent? Does it not denote a loose foundation on empty profession and mere external religion? So many people have been sold a bill of goods in the churches today with easy believism. Just come down here. Maybe they didn't have scriptural baptism. Then they're left when they get baptized by the right authority. Baptism doesn't save, by the way. Sand answers to the shifting, uncertain feelings which are with some men, the foolish ones of the parable. The only good ground on which they act, love of praise, respect for custom and the like. The second house, even though most impressive, is without a foundation. Both houses now could be just as beautiful. Custom homes. One without a foundation and one with a foundation. Give me a shack in a corner of glory land on a sound foundation rather than a mansion. And therefore doomed to destruction. What a searching distinction our Lord portrays, how perilous it is for men who resolve not to rest upon God's help sought in prayer, whose joys do not rest in God's heart trusted, whose confidence rests not on God's presence revealed, whose virtues have no root, goodness no motive, hope no ground. The house of such a one, it merely hangs together and may fall at any moment. The Pharisees of Christ's time built their hopes and external blessings on privileges. We have Abraham to our father, but their hearts were estranged from the rock of their salvation, Jehovah. Jesus, the rock. And Christ had to tell them that the devil and not Abraham was their father. Built upon the wrong. The rock of Israel was not their rock. The rock of the Mishnah and the Talmud, the traditions handed down. The interpretation of the Old Testament, not the Bible. The builders in the wise and the foolish builders, our Lord describes two classes under the natural image of vivid picture that of the building of a house. The natural image of the building of the house. From his vivid picture, we take it that both houses looked attractive and substantial. But the comparatively stability of both is set forth. As the respective houses went up, the materials used and the actual buildings were correct. Both houses looked erect, firm, and strong. What is life but the building up of character, habits, memories, expectations, and powers and weaknesses? Like stone on stone, we add one thing to another in building the house of life. What is your life built upon? Is it built upon your own experiences, how you feel, your own interpretation of God? Well, I'm as good as any man. I haven't done anything bad in my life. Our desire is that we build, what we build should be secure. Good people who are not the Lord's appear to build well and feel that their houses as well and wisely built on money, friends, health, successful methods in business, all of which are commendable in themselves, but disastrous without a rock foundation. But there are others who build their house differently by daily adding to their powers of service, their knowledge of God, their victories over faults, their joys and hopes, till their life becomes a palace fit for God. Testing the elements. Eastern monsoons, floods, and hurricanes do great damage to seemingly strong houses and destroy those less strongly built. They're gone. You know, I've got to say this. I grew up in the 40s in San Joaquin Valley. 1952, there was a Tehachapi earthquake, which was 7.9 on the Richter scale, I think. I lived in a shack with no floor. Just dirt floor, packed down. And the walls were just pieces of wood stuck up there. They were sturdy, but just one board thick. And we had, on the inside, cardboard and newspapers. And when the earthquake came, it shook a lot of houses down. All ours did is rattle and roll. What damage could it do to it? We didn't have much. We had a wet floor because I threw all the water out of the canal and crawdads and fish were flopping all over the yard and in the house. But really, there wasn't much damage to it. Didn't hurt it at all. The floor just got wet. And we had sticky feet for a while because of all that clay. Wasn't much. Sometimes it's good not to have much in this world. A fact our Lord used to great effect. Rain descending. Jesus compares the testing time, terrific in their strain, to the current forces of the rainstorm threatening the roof of the house. How the whistling and howling ruin rains would descend to create fear. The floods came. And the tempestuous torrents can undermine the walls. Ours just moved a little bit. The whole house. The whole shack. The winds blew and these sweeping hurricane-like winds threatened the sides of the house. These combined natural forces remind us that the summer suns are not always shining. Whether we are in the wise or foolish, strain comes to all. In afflictions, disappointments, losses, temptations, fears, and thoughts of dying and of the life beyond and after this. The wind and the rain and the floods hardly admit, unless by an unreal minuteness of individual interpretation, but represent collectively the violences of persecution, of suffering, of temptations without, beneath which all but the life which rests upon the true foundation necessarily gives way. We must trust each day when we're in temptation, health, financial disaster, or whatever, we must trust day to day. Do everything you can on your part, but it's all in God's hands in the end. A dramatic touch is added to the disaster, overtaking the house built on a foundation of sand. Great was the fall of it. Can you imagine somebody building a very costly mansion on sand? Yet that's what it is. How many people have you seen knocking on your door on Saturday morning, going from house to house and doing all these things, building their foundations of their spiritual life on some man's interpretation of the Bible? That's a cult. I'm talking about Jehovah's Witnesses. In this pitiful phrase, Christ warns us to avoid a similar fate. How this imagery of terrible ruin must have impressed the audience accustomed to the fierceness of an eastern tempest. and the suddenness and completeness with which it sweeps everything in its unsteady pathway ahead and before it. No wonder when Jesus had finished this parabolic discourse, the people were struck out of their senses at the uniqueness and authoritativeness of his sayings. The consciousness of divine authority as lawgiver, expounder, and judge so beamed through his teaching that the scribes' teaching could not be but appear driveling in such a light. The scribes were retailers of what we might call merchandisers of the Mishnah and the Talmud. And the great scribes, don't forget that. The scribes were retailers, merchandisers of what others had said. When we speak what we know from the heart experience, then like the master, we too speak with authority. Foolish builders should heed the warning of Jesus, build anew on the foundations of 1 Corinthians 3:11. Ere a final, irrevocable loss overtakes them, they will be wise to recognize that their utter hopelessness apart from the grace of God, and build on the only sure foundation of penitence and faith in God's redemptive provisions through his Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father, we send this message out. If there's one out there that does not know you, one out there may be religious that listens to this, building on the wrong foundations of sand, that they will come to you and confess Jesus Christ as their only Savior, believing in their heart that he died for their sins on the cross of Calvary, was buried, and then rose again. He died for our sins and was raised for our justification. And hear the calling of the heart of God in you as you walk your way in temptations and struggles, persecutions, as we go through this life. Our Father, help those believe out there with your Spirit, and help us with your Spirit living in us. Help us to walk worthy of you, even though we know we are not. You see us through Jesus' blood. In Jesus' name, I send this message out for your